Welcome back to a special edition of Racing Pulse. We are on the road down at Mornington and Mornington's newest resident, who we are looking forward to welcoming back into the Victorian training ranks, is Cliff Brown, back from 12 years in Singapore. Cliff, welcome back.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, no, that's a warm reception. Thanks.
Exciting to be back here, though, in Australia.
Oh, tremendous. Look, it's great to be back. It's very daunting as well. There's no hiding that feeling, yeah, but it'll be good.
Well, we're standing in what later today and tomorrow will start to become the new bustling stable. So tell us exactly where we are here at Mornington, the new Cliff Brown setup.
Yeah, look, Michael, it's a good spot. We're right on the track. We just walk out the back gate and we're onto the track, and we've just got a combination of stables and yards and see how we go.
Yeah, so what's the setup here? I can see some day yards over here to the right, and behind us we might walk into what the main barn stabling complex is. She's all empty at the moment, but it won't be too long until the horses arrive.
Yeah, look, we'll get our first lot in tomorrow, and that'll be good. We'll start, just bring a few in and work out what we're doing eventually. We've only got 10 or 11 to come through, and then we'll build the team from there very slowly, I'd say.
What's the capacity here?
Capacity for 38.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it.
Is this very different to what the stabling setup would be in Singapore?
That was a combination of so we had 50 in work there, so we'd have just 50 boxes, and it was a combination. 25 were in fans in a very open, high roof stable, and the other 25 were in air conditioned boxes. So it's very different for the horses. I've noticed that they're already have some in pre-training, some of them from Singapore, some of them horses we've bought earlier. And you can already see the mindset of the horses from Singapore have changed. They're a bit more relaxed and things like that. So that's been interesting to observe. But they're good, they're well, and, as I said, they start to come in from tomorrow.
It's interesting because it's such a high humidity and the heat in Singapore compared to what you would have here. You wouldn't think about the air conditioning and fans that you would need, especially here.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, it's a very different thing. The humidity, everyone always used to say, how do you cope with it? But you do. You just become used to it, as the horses do. And I think that's the interesting thing, how you don't notice it in the end. And the other thing is also you've got to buy a new wardrobe of clothes now that we're back here. I don't think I even owned many jumpers, so away we go.
And the Mornington area, why did you decide to set up shop this time round here?
Yeah, look, it was a few reasons. It's a great spot. Plus the stables are ready to go, which we needed for a few of the horses that were coming back. And family-wise, it works in well, you know, with the kids. There's a couple at university, one at school, so it was a good spot to be, and we can all meet up when we need to on the other side of the bay, and it'll be good.
Talking about training facilities, what are the facilities like outside of the box set up for training in Singapore?
Look, they're the same. You know, we were very fortunate. We had a lot of variety, a lot of different tracks. We had even a hill track. There were a couple of swimming pools. It really is a tremendous infrastructure in Singapore. Everything's there that you need, from the veterinary to the farrier. It's a brilliant setup, yeah.
Do you swim horses like you would in Australia very often and stuff like that?
Oh, look, we would, yeah. We'd swim a lot of them daily. So that'll change a little bit. But, you know, you have other things here like the beach, which is exciting. You know, I've never used those, you know, from the farm days to now. So that'll be good. But there's lots of different variety. I think one thing about being in Singapore, you constantly learn how to keep horses interested. So that'll be interesting, because we've got so many more tools to use here, so it'll be good.
It's an interesting point you make there. How would you do that for horses who are pretty much enclosed in a confined space compared to Australia?
Yeah, look, that's right. You'd use different tracks. You'd do different things of an afternoon. You'd move boxes. Just little things that you don't think about because you don't need to here, but there you need to. And even changing diet can change the way they feel about themselves, so different things like that.
Do you think Australian racing's changed much from the 12 to 15 years it was the last time you were training here?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, I mean, it's amazing the size of stables now and the amount of good young kids that are training. It's very, very professional, which it always has been, but it seems to be a thriving business as well, which is great.
We'll talk more about your history from your first Group 1 days back at Narbathong to the Group 1 winners in Singapore. But just on those Singapore horses that are coming here, especially Inferno, how do you compare the calibre of those good horses compared to what we see here in Australia, do you think?
Oh, look, you can't. I mean, I think emotion takes hold at times of how you rate them, but I think realistically you don't know until you put them down and see where they're at, you know. Probably, in fairness, Inferno will be the best guide because he's a young horse, lightly raced, coming at the top of his game. I sent another horse back, Deck Collector, but he was at the end of his career, so we never got a true guide. So you hope Inferno measures up, but whether he does or doesn't, we don't know until we find the right race and see where he's at.
Logistically, has it been difficult to come here and start again?
No, it hasn't at all. The club's been fantastic. You know, they've gone out of their way to help get us organised and get set up, and my wife's done a great job moving us. So, no, it's been good. Look, as I said earlier, it is very daunting, though, you know, starting again and seeing where you are in the pecking order. And we're never going to be a big stable, which doesn't bother me. But it is. You are a little bit apprehensive and nervous about what you're doing.
There's a lot of discussion at the moment in Australia about a lack of staff, especially track work riders and good stable staff. They're hard to find. What was it like in Singapore from a staffing point of view?
Look, it wasn't too bad. You know, it wasn't too bad. Or, like most things, finding good riders was difficult, but we did have some really good riders, and they'd been with us a long time. You know, most of the boys have been there since we started, so that helped. But Michael, I'm amazed you walk past any shop here, whether it's a restaurant or a clothing shop or the nursery, wherever. Every store seems to have a sign in it, you know, hiring. So it's incredible. It seems a lot of businesses are short-staffed.
Have you set yourself any goals for the upcoming season?
No, none at all. No, I've never been a goal setter. It's never just try and do what we can, see where we end up. No, I've never put any goals down. I'll only disappoint myself further, Michael. So, yeah, save myself the angst.
I don't know about that. You've kicked plenty of goals in your time here in Australia and over in Singapore. We might take a break and relocate over to the main track because I want to sit down and go through some of those great Group 1 wins when you were training out of Narbathong and the Group 1 wins over in Singapore as well. Special edition, Racing Pulse on the road, live from Mornington. We're chatting with Cliff Brown, who is back in Australia. Welcome back to Racing Pulse on the road. We're live from Mornington, continuing our chat with trainer Cliff Brown, who after 12 years in Singapore has relocated back here to Victoria. Cliff, for those who are unaware, how many Group 1 winners did you have in Australia before you went to Singapore? And then what was your overall record in Singapore?
We had five in Australia and seven or eight in Singapore. Yeah.
It's not a bad record because you started training at a pretty young age. How did you get into it?
By default, Michael, really. I wasn't very clever at school, so ended up working on the farm and taking out a training licence when I was young, and from there just sort of self-educating and see how I went. I did go to Europe for a year in England and did Marcus Oldham, which was good fun, so that's how we did it.
So did you have an apprenticeship? Did you work under any trainers before you took out your own licence?
Yeah, look, at I think I was 16. I worked for Rob McGuinness at Caulfield, who's still a family friend, and it was a good year. And then I worked for another guy actually at Mornington, not work for him, but Dad had a few horses in work with a guy called Ted Harvey, and I'd go and spend some holidays with Ted and Jan, and they were lovely people, tremendous to me. So, that's sort of how it came about, and from there, just potted around with a horse or two at the farm.
Your dad was a pretty remarkable man because he is probably the sole reason that you have become a trainer, because he bred all of those superstar Group 1 winners that you had.
Yeah, look, he was a remarkable, thoroughbred breeder. He had followed this Bruce Lowe system of numbers with pedigrees and bred all the horses that way, and you know, that's the way he did it. And Kevin Dagg worked for him for a long time, the bloodstock agent, and they worked together finding the mares that Dad needed, and then he'd mate them how he thought he should. So no, he did a great job.
Well, you had a remarkable run back in the mid to late 90s and early 2000, especially your first Group 1. You owned the South Australian Derby for a few years, and Cheviot in 96 was your first Group 1 winner.
Hurricane Storm switches to the inside. Wider out is Cheviot, running a terrific race. 200 to go in the Malaysia Airlines Derby, and Cheviot's gone up to take the lead from Payback Time and Hurricane Storm. Payback Time coming again at Cheviot. Cheviot in front, though, close to home. And Cheviot, by the ill-fated Sire Average Game, has taken a classic. It's Cheviot's Derby.
So that was Cheviot winning your very first Group 1. What are your memories of that day over in Adelaide?
Oh, look, it was great. It was a really good day. friend, my wife came, Joe, and Tim McGrath and his wife, Noreen, and we all went over. And, yeah, we had a great night, good dinner, and it was a lot of fun.
Did it come easy to you, training?
Oh, God, no. I was terrible. And, you know, it took me 12 months to train my first winner. I remember I had a runner at the EA picnics, and the local clerk of the course was also the local copper around Narbathong, a guy called Bob McAdam. Anyway, I had the runner at EA, and I ran tailed off last, and Bob pulled up on the pony. He said, "You better get rid of that one, Cliff." And I said, "Yeah, he's not too fast." And he said, "Well, if I let the pony go, I beat it." So, no, it was a really slow career, let me tell you.
You had that great property at Narbathong. What was that like to train at?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, tremendous. You know, like, the hills were incredible. We only had a very small gallop track, but it worked. It was a beautiful place. You know, I wish we still had it.
Probably the biggest win that put you on the map was in the Rosehill Guineas, and it was only a year later, and it was a horse called Tan Purlane.
Carmody going for home on the Integra Colt, and Intergage put two lengths now on Star Cover. Tan Purlane, it's coming home well. Intergage the leader, slowly but surely. Tan Purlane's getting Intergage. Will he make it? He did! Tan Purlane and D. Beatman get up in the last stride to beat Intergage, and Ebony Groves run third from Star Cover.
Defeating a horse called Intergage with Darren Beatman on his back. Gee, he was a good horse, Tan Purlane.
Yeah, he was a really good horse. And Michael, in fairness, you look back now, look, he was terribly trained. You know, I didn't train him very well at all. I think I ran him in every race that I could possibly run him in. If you had him now, he'd probably win five group ones. You know, he was a very good horse.
What was your biggest mistake with him? Was it just entering him in everything, do you think?
Oh, look, I think there's too many mistakes to list, Michael. Yeah, no, really, he'd run 1 week, I'd be looking for the next race, the next. And they were always high-class races, and they were, you know, fatiguing for him, but he kept backing up. And no, he did a remarkable job, and I didn't help him very much at all.
From memory, he didn't have much luck in the concluding stages of the Derby that year.
No, he didn't. He got knocked over. But look, he won the Memsey, you know, which is now Group 1.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, and beat a great field then. Look, he got beaten a Lip and an Epsom. Yeah, the list is endless. But as I said, and quite honestly, I didn't do a very good job with him.
Well, what about the job you did with a horse called Markham? He was a great galloper who may have, even though he didn't win, give you your biggest moment in racing or the most exciting moment. This was the 97 finish of the Melbourne Cup.
Ebony Groves getting a rails run, followed by Grandmaster and Markham. Might and Power, the leader, inside the 200. Two lengths in front of Linesman, and then Doremus on the outside. Might and Power, the leader. Doremus trying hardest, coming at him. Might and Power and Doremus. Doremus getting the Might and Power. They hit the line. Photo, oh! Nothing between them. Doremus or Might and Power in a close go. Photo third, either Markham or Harbour Dews is there.
So you've run third in a Melbourne Cup as a young trainer behind two of the legends of Melbourne Cups, Might and Power and Doremus. What was that day like?
Yeah, it was good. It was great, Michael. I remember thinking at the time, oh, that's great, you know. I might be able to win it next year or something like that. And it's actually feels like it's become further away, to be honest, the chance of winning it. But we're back here, so we'll see how we go. But no, great. It's without doubt my favourite race in the world.
Did it all come too easy, too early, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think it was the way it happened at the time. So things happen, I'm sure, for a reason as we go along in life. And that was that period then. But no, it was just the way it panned out. And it was good. But I think anything in sport, you have good periods and you have bad periods, whether you're a tennis player, cricketer, whatever. And racing's no different.
So what made you take everything, pack everything up, the family up, and head over to Singapore in the first place?
Look, I think at that point of time, I wasn't sure what Dad was going to do with the farm. And I just needed to go and do something for myself. And I had a new family and go and make a start over there and see how we went.
No regrets about going to Singapore? You loved it over there?
Oh, look, it was great. It was really good. It was good for all of us. It was good for business and it's good for the family, a great place for them to grow up. And Singapore's a great country, you know. I couldn't fault it. And the racing then was very, very good.
You mentioned one of the best horses you had was the horse of the year over there, Debt Collector. We got to see here at the tail end of his career, but probably the most exciting horse at the end. And you've brought this horse here over to Australia. We'll get to see him racing in Melbourne soon, is Inferno.
and he has swept to the lead. Leads the way from stablemate Zach Carter. Skywalk is next. Mr. Malik Gingerella trying to run home from Grand Kunta, but Cliff's Cub will become the leading lion in this city this afternoon, and he will win it in effortless fashion. Inferno Too Good beats into second Mr. Malik. Back in
Cliff's Cup, the caller said. Inferno Too Good over there. Was he the most talented, exciting horse you had in your time, or have had in your time in Singapore?
Oh, absolutely. You know, look, we were fortunate. We trained a few really nice horses, Debt Collector, Zach Spirit, some really nice horses. But he's probably the most naturally gifted horse I've ever trained.
So what can we expect when we see him here in Australia, do you think?
Well, that is the problem, Michael. I'm not sure. Yeah. I really don't know. I hope he measures up. I think he will. You know, times and margins and the way he does things. I really do think he can, but until you're up against the competition here, you really have no idea. So we go in there full of hope.
Have you got a preparation for the spring in the back of your mind?
Oh, look, you do in the back of your mind, but where you end up and how you end up just depends where he is in the pecking order. So we'll just won't set any, you know, ridiculous targets just yet. We'll just see where he's at.
What do you think's his best suited distance?
Well, I think 1,200 metres, 1,400 metres. You know, he did win the Guineas, but he pulled for a long way during that race and probably quality got him there. But otherwise, you know, he loves a bit of speed on in a race. He has a high cruising speed himself, but can quicken up nicely. So, look, as I said, I'm full of hope.
Yep. Victorian training ranks are so deep. How do you start from scratch and set up? You've brought a couple of horses over from Singapore, but how do you go about building the team up?
Look, I look at Melbourne training ranks and they're phenomenal. They really are. There's so many good young kids with big teams and things like that. So I think it's important I don't head out there with any grand illusions or anything like that. I'll just go and do what I do. And we're only going to have a small team, which suits me. And from there, we've got a good group of owners that have been with me a long time. They've been in Singapore and back now to Australia. And they've all gone and then come back again, so that's good. So no grand illusions, Michael.
We saw what COVID had done to the Singapore racing scene. Lee Friedman's left and set up at the Gold Coast as well. How are things over in Singapore now?
No, look, they're quiet. They're not where they were. It has affected them badly, but they'll work on it. One thing about Singapore, they never give up on anything. You know, they're very methodical in whatever they do, so it'll take a period of time, but I'm sure they'll get it back.
And have you fit back into the Melbourne lifestyle, have you?
Yeah, look, it's been good. Listen, we hadn't seen the two oldest kids for 12 months, so to see them's fantastic. Catch up with some friends is really good. No, we're enjoying it.
Okay, you still a Mad Cat supporter?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, look, I went Friday night with my middle son and Harvey, and we had a great time. You know, I love the football. It's quite ridiculous. I was a terrible sportsman myself, but, you know, if they win, I'm as happy as a bird, and if they don't, I'm, you know, depressed. So it makes no sense.
Well, we're out here at Mornington. There's a few of your fellow trainers here. Shane Nicholls already been giving you the Jimmy Brits. Is it good to get back amongst the brethren?
Yeah, it's great. Look, it seems a really good community here of trainers and people, so that's nice. And it is good to have a bit of a banter of a morning. It can be a long and cold period of time during winter, so to have these guys around will be good fun.
How long until we see Cliff Brown in the form guide?
No, look, I'd say a while, yeah. Yeah, I'll make a few mistakes between now and then and eventually get a runner, Michael.
Okay. Do we set one up for your first race runner for a winner? Is that what the plan is?
No. I don't think I'm clever enough to do those things. We'll just head off and see what happens.
You play yourself down very well for someone who's got such a remarkable Group 1 record. Anyone out there who wants to have a horse with Cliff Brown, there's a few stables that are free.
Yeah, listen, Michael, come for a walk through them. There's plenty free. But listen, all those things take time. And as I said, we're under no illusion of where we're at, so we'll chip away.
Good to have those famous tarn fur colours back in action here in Victoria, Cliff. Great to catch up this morning. Look forward to seeing your first horses back in action here in Melbourne.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Cliff Brown, back from Singapore. Won't be too long until we get to see his horses here. We're live from Mornington. There's another jump out just about to go as we are here. On the other side of this little break, we'll try and catch up with a few of the trainers that are hanging around. Brett Scott, Clayton Douglas, Jamie Carr's over there. We might even catch up with Jason Warren as well. All that ahead on a special edition of Racing Pulse live from Mornington.